This is The Brand Talks with 5011. I'm Mike Neese.
I'm Matthew Jones.
In this episode, we're talking with Jesse Springer of Loud Color LA. As self-proclaimed audio nerds, Loud Color refers to themselves as the ad agency's antiperspirant. As a premier recording, sound design, and audio mixing studio based out of Long Beach, California, they create audio magic better, faster, and cheaper than almost any major recording studio on the West Coast. This episode offers a great insight into the business of sound, and as might be expected, Jesse is definitely our best sounding guest so far. Here's our conversation. Jesse, why don't you introduce yourself for our listeners and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Well, sure. My name is Jesse Springer, and I probably do too many things. I've got a few different companies, the most recent of which is a sound design and audio post facility here in Long Beach called Loud Color LA. And it is a pretty much anything audio post-production you can think of, from casting voiceover talent, working with agencies, going through that whole process to sound design, creating bizarre original sounds and anything sonically that happens on a screen. That's kind of what we do.
Fantastic.
On top of that, since I was a kid, I'm a professional voiceover artist. So, you know, over the years, I've been fortunate enough to be the sort of official voice of brands like Kia and Walmart and, you know, some really cool major Fortune 500 companies. And then I also voice what are called network promos, which are basically like commercials for TV shows. So it'll be like the, you know, tomorrow on CBS this morning or coming up on blah, 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 that sort of stuff. So audio has kind of always been in my blood since I was little. And it seemed like a natural progression where, you know, with voiceover, a lot of times I might have, it's a very, very hurry up and wait, 5 minute notice kind of space. So like I do a lot of things for Jimmy Kimmel, for example, and that's a, you know, you get a phone call or a text message and they need you right away.
Yeah.
But then, so I've got kind of these blocks that get scattered throughout my day. And then the majority of my day is free time that I can decide what I want to do with it. So, you know, audio is something I've always been very passionate about. I have a strong background in that space. Seemed like a natural progression. So, yeah, here I am.
It's fantastic. I was just wearing my Jimmy Kimmel Live shirt yesterday.
Great.
Yeah, my neighbor runs his set up in...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, my old neighbor. I don't live next to him anymore, but very cool.
That's awesome, Jesse. What led you to take the leap to start the new company? And then even in the voiceover side, I know you said, you know, it's been in your blood, but what was that thing that pushed you over the edge to really go for it professionally?
Yeah, well, so I moved to LA from Seattle when I turned 18 and went to film school here, dropped out after a couple of years and got a job at an advertising agency. So I was about 20 when I started there. And over the course of about 4 or 5 years, I worked my way up to creative director there. And I felt like I was just kind of hitting a wall where, you know, I've got all of these different projects going on and businesses going on outside of the agency world that I was feeling more passionate about. So eventually it just kind of came down to the line and I decided it was time to jump ship and do my own thing. And ever since then, you know, initially, it was just kind of a, what do I do after leaving an advertising agency world where I have a guaranteed salary and now I'm in this wild west where anything can happen? And it just happened to coincide with this period in advertising where a lot of big wig creative directors were leaving prominent agencies to start their own smaller shops. And I think we've seen a lot of this over the last, you know, decade or so, where some of the best creative work that's being delivered is being done by smaller shops, where, you know, it's like turning a big ship versus a nimble speedboat. You know, if you have a brand that comes to you and says, hey, you know, we are doing a total rebrand or whatever the case might be, the more nimble and agile you are, the more creative potential you have, because you're not being hampered by some sort of preconceived notion of what the brand's identity is supposed to be, But then, you know, the flip side of that is you have people who've been at a specific company for a while who are, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And so it's kind of this balancing act of walking that line. Anyways, I think I got pretty sidetracked from your question there. As I typically do, I'm very ADD.
That's okay. I think everything
it's a
you're
common
saying,
trait amongst yeah. creative people, right?
Absolutely. We're all creative here.
Right. I call myself
the king of rabbit trails. So I'm a walking
rabbit trail, especially yeah. nowadays when we're living through such bizarre times that it just feels like right. none of this can possibly be real. I mean, we all took the wrong pill in the Matrix. Yeah. And,
so
and
weird. Here
we are. Still not real, no. Yeah. It's funny. My friends know when I go to like shops to get to go shopping and everything, I just get to chatting, just talking with everybody.
Yeah.
Make friends.
Yeah.
I mean, being in the audio world, being in podcasting, I think if we weren't people who could talk a lot, that we wouldn't be a good fit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So anyways, so I guess getting back to your original question, What led me to take that jump, that leap, and start my own company was boredom. I think boredom, and I'm an all or nothing kind of person in every aspect of my life. So if there's even an inkling of this is not doing it for me for any number of reasons, I don't care if it means I might make less money. I don't care what the potential repercussions are. I'm going to get out of that situation and get into something that, you know, hey, you know, maybe it could mean you end up homeless in 5 years, but you know, it's those kinds of risks that are, wow. you're either the kind of person who's going to take them, or you're comfortable with a typical lifestyle that's just kind of fits the mold of what society expects of us. And I'm not that kind of person, for better or worse.
Yeah, I've tried working in corporate environments, and they're just not for me either.
Yeah, it's pretty miserable. You know, it's not for everybody though. That's mm-hmm. the ironic thing is, you know, my ex girlfriend was very fond of she couldn't fathom the idea of having a job like I do. You know, for her, yeah. she has to get up at 6 a.m. every day and go to her office, and that's how she feels normal. And it just happens to be the exact opposite for me. So I think, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Without a doubt. And this all really ties down to, you know, personal identity, personal branding, even company branding. I took a look at your website with the Loud Color. First of all, I love the name, and I love that you just focus right in audio nerds. So let's talk a little bit about branding and what it means
yeah,
to
sure.
you. It's obvious there's a lot of thought there.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because I'm sure this is still an early iteration of how that particular website will be. I'm sure it'll evolve over time. Loud Color is a new endeavor, so we started in November, and as far as the of just this last year, so it's only been a few months. And as far as the branding components behind it, there's this idea of, and you, I don't know if you're familiar with this. Have you heard of synesthesia?
I have, but remind me, and for okay. everybody listening, just maybe if you could define it a little bit.
Yeah, so synesthesia is basically this, I don't know if it would technically be
yes,
a condition.
Yes, I just remembered.
Yeah,
go ahead,
yeah.
please.
So it's this unique phenomenon that some people experience that is, in essence, it's kind of a cross-wiring of the senses. So you might see something and perceive it as not just a sight, but also some sort of a visceral sound or a scent, or it triggers an emotional response in some way. It's the firing of all of your senses in reaction to effectively just one stimulus. With Loud Color, the idea I wanted to take and run with was this notion that to have a full picture of something, it should tickle everything. You know, in my case, when I'm working with audio, there is a well-mixed commercial or music or whatever it is. If you're listening on a good system, you can actually get a sense of height and depth. So
yeah,
X, wow. Y, and Z axis. So there's front to back, there's up, down, and every individual element should have its own specific place in stereo space or in surround space, as the case might be. And they all come together to create this cohesive picture that hopefully tickles your senses and inspires some sort of an association with color or with different senses that are outside of the audio spectrum. So the gist of the branding behind Loud Color is, well, like I said, how can we tickle all of these senses when technically we're only working with one? So
yeah.
So kind of a roundabout answer, but
reminds me a lot of, I think it was right around 1995, I visited Epcot Center. Uh-huh. And they had this alien experience where you go sit in a chair and they would turn the lights off. And it was 100% an audio immersive experience.
Nice. Mm.
But you could hear the alien walking behind you and breathing down your neck. And yeah. There's just something about well-mixed audio that just pulls you in. That's just magical.
I think I might have done that one also. I don't remember what... When was I at Epcot? I think it was like 2001 or something.
Okay.
But yeah, those are fun. Those are fun. They get the little like air cannons that are kind of blasting your feet, tickling yep. you or some right. some weird little, like what's yeah, going
it's got,
on?
There's it's got a little blast on the back of your neck or something. So,
yeah.
So as you've been going out in your career, I mean, I'm always intrigued by people who've taken the particular path that you have, you know, in voice acting with, you know, doing the audio mixing. What would you say is the greatest fear or obstacle that you've had to overcome?
I would say probably, just speaking generally here, the biggest fear has been fear in general, fear itself, so to speak. The biggest obstacle I've had to overcome is to find out how to be confident in who I am. And, you know, I think a lot of that stems from how I grew up, which is very, very... How do I say this? It was a relatively closed-minded worldview, and eventually, you know, as I grew older, I realized I can't square my experience with what I've been taught and what I've grown up believing, and so there's a disconnect there between what I felt I should believe and how I felt I should act with what I was experiencing. There's just this strange disconnect, and so. That I think that had an effect on my overall sense of self-worth and confidence because, you know, if somebody asks you a question about something that you're vocal about and you don't have the means to answer it in a way that's rational or makes sense to you, then there's some voice in the back of your head that's giving you, for good reason, something to doubt in yourself. So, you know, I think cultivating confidence has been probably the most important mission of my life and learning to love myself and to take it easy on myself. You know, we often hear that saying, you're your own worst critic. And that I think can be especially true for people who are creatives, you know, because we see people who are not critical of their work. And the result of that work is typically disconnected and it's weak. And I think to create well, you have to have done some sort of a deep dive into your own psyche, into your own emotional and intellectual vulnerabilities to determine where you might be able, where there might be a compromise, where you might get yourself into trouble. Hmm. And I think the more introspection we have in our lives, the, you know, self-reflection and meditation, I think those are all really important.
That's amazing. What would you tell somebody who's aspiring to do what you do?
Well, I think it'd be different depending on A, the person, and B, the specific thing that they're trying to do. Because, you know, right. As I mentioned, I do.
Well, maybe
do
in the voiceover artist.
Okay, well, in voiceover, so I get pretty regular calls or emails from people who are looking to break into the voiceover space, and my conversations with them have generally shifted over the past 5 years or so to the point that now. Very often, if somebody asks me about getting into voiceover, my gut reaction is to tell them not to. And there are a variety of reasons for that. But, you know, one of them is the industry has shifted so much in the past 3 years. So the economics of it, and I think we're seeing this in a lot of different industries, the marketplace for buying specific skill sets has been taken largely online. And this is even at the very high levels. So if you are the top in your space at, you know, logo design or at some facet of branding, there's a very good chance that you've seen some degree of dip in your work, or at least in the quality of opportunities that are coming to you from brands who care about what they're doing, because there are so many companies can now go onto a site like Fiverr and pay somebody, you know, sub $500 for a well thought out, comprehensive logo branding package that it's only, you know, when you kind of skim beyond the surface, you realize, okay, this could have been better here, here, and here, and here. So, you know, in voiceover, we're seeing that also where, you know, I'm part of the Screen Actors Guild, which is the union for performers. And all of my friends and colleagues in the voiceover space have seen a substantial drop off in the quality of work that is out there, because we live in a churn and burn society where it's you know, the quote unquote YouTube generation, where people just don't have the patience to engage with a specific message for more than a few seconds. And I think that's led to creating branding and advertising that fits that ADD mold of our culture, which means lower budgets and it means faster turnaround times. And I'm not sure that's better.
Right.
So, you know, I people who want to get into voiceover, I usually push back on that. And then also, I found that the more resistance a person faces in their quest to get to something that they're passionate about, the more likely they are to break through the walls that they need to get there. I think adversity is one of the most important parts of pursuing anything that you care about. I think failure is one of the best gifts you can be given.
I agree with that.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, to get to where I've gotten today, I've had to go through a whole bunch of failures. And sometimes, you know, you look at a certain circumstance, should I do it? Should I not do it? And I don't mean it in the violent sense, but I just sometimes refer to it, well, let's just throw a grenade in the room and see what happens. You know, because otherwise, if you don't take an action on something, you don't know what's going to happen. And failing as a result of learning is such a valuable skill. I'm sorry, learning as a result of failing, right. Not the other way around.
Yeah.
So yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the services that you guys do offer through Loud Color. What led you to start that business particularly? Just talking about how it's actually going, because obviously you're not doing any in-studio recording, I imagine, right now. Everything's online.
Yeah. You know, this is one of those times in human history where, from what I've seen, there's been this kind of a split down the middle where people are kind of generally fitting into one of two extremes. Either they are completely panicked by what we're going through. They're completely panicked about what this means for business, especially in the creative field where you're working with clients. And there are people who are thriving and taking advantage of it. And I think a lot of the difference between the two camps has to do with the technological structure that they've set up at their business. So in the audio post world, you know, a lot of traditional studios are hurting right now. I've talked with friends who are executive producers at some of the biggest studios on the West Coast. And, you know, when they're working with hundreds of millions of dollars, or tens at least of millions of dollars worth of equipment, and they can't have people physically there on site to work on their projects, then yeah, they're in trouble. In our case, fortunately, we are from the very beginning, you know, this is an advantage also to have just started in November. The entire infrastructure of how we've developed our tools and the way we interface with clients, it's entirely digital. So occasionally we have clients here on location working with us, but the vast majority of the work we do is done digitally, either with the client tuned into a virtual session from wherever their agency is. So we work with a lot of agencies and government agencies and businesses kind of around the world in different time zones. So they can either patch in and be a part of the session live, or we can go through a review process, which is becoming a lot more popular nowadays, where, you know, there are fewer people involved on the client side and they have fewer human resources to be able to allocate to physically being on site. And so a lot of times sort of a first pass is done remotely, and then it's reviewed by the client, and then we have a conversation, and then we go back. So, you know, not much has shifted for us specifically. We've actually had a bit of an uptick in work, which is great right now.
That's great.
Yeah. So the, you know, Loud Color was a response to me realizing that there's a vast number of clients that I work with every day on the voiceover side of things that are not in bed with a team of people who really know what they're doing with the audio post. You know, it became a pet peeve of mine to voice some campaign and then see it out in the world and realize, wow, this sounds really bad. You know, it's just, it's the, for the vast majority of people, they're not going to notice it. But if you're nerdy about those kinds of things and kind of a little bit OCD, then you want to try and fix them. So Loud Color was an opportunity for me to say, hey, you know, now I've got a team of people that I've vetted that I know, you know, they know what they're doing and they care about all the little details and these sorts of issues that you're having aren't going to happen. So there seemed to be a need in the space. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. I come originally from the picture editing side of things.
Oh,
and,
cool.
You know, I've been watching a lot of my friends who still work in the industry, watching how they've been having gear shipped to their houses. It seems like animation is actually thriving right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And it absolutely does make sense. So look, Jeff, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to talk with us. I'd love to talk with you also about some of you guys' audio services that you do. I want to make sure that as we're doing our podcast, that everything is always sounding the best. And I know we're a little limited right now with everybody being on Zoom, but you know, I mailed Matthew a microphone so that we could up his audio quality.
All right.
And so I helped start and run a podcast studio in Torrance for, it was going for about 3 years, called Podcast Center LA. So I learned a lot about the audio side of things, and it's exhilarating. I love it. I'm going to be doing a lot more in it. So
yeah, it is, right. It can be intimidating. It can be, you know, I've got another friend who lives out in Corona, and he's starting a podcast network. Also, he's realizing he's in way over his head right now.
Yeah, sometimes and that's the best way to learn.
He actually was texting me yesterday saying, "Hey, can you please come out here and, you know, help me out, take a look at some things?" And I said, "Honestly, man, I love you, but I don't have the time right now, and I'm actually adhering to the, you know, quarantine order, so to speak."
So Jesse, tell our listeners where they can find you online.
Yeah, so for voiceover, probably the easiest you are. I mean, I'm kind of all over the place. For voiceover, you could do jcspringer.com. And then for Loud Color, it's loudcolor.la. And then I've got a bunch of other businesses also, but let's stay focused, right?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your time. And
Yeah, it's been great, guys. Thanks a lot.
Let's talk again.
All right.
Bye-bye. Make sure you don't miss an episode. Head on over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to The Brand Talks. If you're on iTunes, make sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review to let us know what you think. This has been a 5011 production. 5011 is a full-service branding and marketing agency. We collaborate with brands to elevate their story, revitalize their image, and design their experiences. To find out more about us, head on over to 5011.com. That's FIFTYELEVN.com. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at 5011.